We're going to start off later on in Mark chapter number 10. So normally when I get ready to begin teaching and preaching through a book of the Bible during Sunday school class, I like to give an introduction to that book. And whoever doesn't get to hear it because they don't come to Sunday school, they miss out. So that's what this morning is an introduction to the book of Mark. And a little bit teaching, definitely preaching going to be involved in there too. Announcements going on here, a lot of things. If you want to look in your bulletin, because there's a ton of things, and I don't always say everything exactly. Bulletin helps. So Outreach Saturday coming up, November 5th and December 3rd. Mark your calendars for that. Veterans Sunday is 2 weeks away, and that's a special day that we have. We've always recognized our veterans, but this week we want to do something different. We want to try to honor them. We're going to show them a gift of appreciation. We're going to have a meal afterward for everyone who comes to the church service. And we also like to have a way where we can have pictures of our veterans, those who regularly attend, those who are church members, even those that were church members of the past that have passed away. Those type of things. We're going to have one side of pictures for that over there. So if you have a family member that's a veteran, we're also encouraging you to bring immediate family members, and we're going to separate the tables out there. But so we need the pictures, and we need the pictures by next Sunday so we can make sure everything is going to be set up and look nice. We are interested in scanning the pictures, especially of those that are part of our church family, so we can keep them for years in the future. And so the other ones, they can come with frames, and you can bring them in with frames and things like that. But we're probably going to try, especially with those that are part of our church family, regular attender, someone who's been was a church member in the past, those type of things. We're going to try to make it look uniform. And then on the other side, we're going to have just, I know I have a lot of people who are excited about it, about their moms or their dads or their brothers or their sisters or children, and we'll have that. But we need you to mark their name. If you want to put their rank on there, you're welcome to, and what branch of the military they served in. So we need all that by next Sunday so we can have it prepared for the next Sunday. If you have questions about it, you can ask me. If you want to know who to give the pictures to, you can give it to Miss Gale or my wife. Both of them are helping us with that. And so that's next Sunday, and hoping that on the 13th we will have a nice display for that. So looking forward to that. And you say, well, I don't know if I have my pictures. I know Bob Lee was picking on me, saying Bob was saying that they didn't have cameras back then. But if you don't have a picture, you can just have a regular picture of the person. We're hoping that it'll be in your uniform. We're hoping that it will be something that will recognize you while you were serving. We've gotten some pictures already, and it's interesting to see people that are 20 or 30 or 40 years different. And so it's, you can tell it's them, but just because of the fact that, hey, I know that person. And it's we're thankful for our veterans, and we want to try to make it a special day. Another thing we're doing with our meal, we're trying to do something a little different. You know, we always try different things. We're going to have one main course that day, which is going to be ham. And then we're also going to have sides that we're asking you to help provide, but certain sides. And we need, there's a sign-up sheet out there, we need a couple crock pot fulls of mashed potatoes. We start off asking for 5. I think there are already a couple have been taken, written down. So we need you to sign up for that. A whole crock pot full is because we're planning for, you know, over 100 people. And then also we need some crock pot fulls of green beans. We're going to have macaroni and cheese there. We're going to have corn, going to have bread, things like that. But those are the things we're asking. So it's going to be the same options for everybody. Now, the desserts are different. We're asking everybody to bring in desserts. It's not bringing in other food if they're able to. And you can bring whatever type of dessert you want and just enjoy yourself making it. I always enjoy the dessert table probably just as much, if not more than all of them. So because there's so much variety there. But the desserts we're asking you to bring in too. And we're asking most, probably more important than anything, is to invite people to come. Veterans Sunday, if you know someone who's been in the military, it's very easy to say, hey, our church is having a special day recognizing our veterans and honoring them. Would you like to be a part of the service? Ask them to be your guest. You don't even have to take them out to lunch afterwards. They can stay here and they can eat lunch with us. And so we're looking forward to that day, not just a day of honoring, but also a day of outreach too. And that's what we want to do. We're supposed to do is reach out. And these are different ways that God has laid upon my heart to try to reach out when it came to Patriot Sunday and Veteran Sunday. And I don't think we'll do Patriot Sunday every year, but I think Veteran Sunday is something that may become part of our annual calendar just because it's something that we think is important. Things going on, there is going to be a Thanksgiving luncheon. That is on November 15th. We used to have senior luncheons all the time. And so we're going to have a Thanksgiving luncheon that day. Usually it starts around 10 o'clock. We'll give you a little bit more details later on. Tonight, probably either night or by Wednesday, there'll be a sign-up sheet out there. It's a time of food and fun and fellowship. We'll also have some type of devotion that day. And it lasts about 3 hours. It's a good time all together. So I would encourage anyone who would like to come. It is during the daytime. It will be mostly older people there, but that's okay. Anyone's welcome. And so looking forward to that on the 15th. Encourage you to be a part of that. The Lord's Supper, we'll be observing that on the 20th. The prayer and praise service, which is our Tuesday night service. We move our Wednesday night service to Tuesday night, the week of Thanksgiving. Christmas parade float. And once again, we need help with that. I mentioned to the men yesterday about that we need a trailer. And one of the men mentioned something about a trailer. Still waiting to see if those sizes work. But if you have a trailer that's available, might be something that we're in need of. And we're planning on decorating it. We would need the trailer for a few weeks so that way we can decorate it and get ready for our float. I'm going to give you more details about that as we get closer. Adult Christmas banquet. There is not a sign-up sheet out there for that yet, at least not to my knowledge. But we are trying to get through some of the other ones beforehand. But once you mark your calendar, December 10th there, looking forward to that. And if you'd like to help decorate a table at the adult Christmas banquet, please let my wife know. We always have a good time with that. Okay, that's a lot of announcements. To me, that's maybe a little too many. But usually our Christmas programs have youth and adults. Sometimes it's just youth, sometimes it's just adults. And this year, this one is mostly adults. There's a few children that will be a part, have a small parts in it. But we are going to try to have a children's choir because we don't have a number of young people right now. We don't have a children's choir that sings every single month. At least not right this second. But we are going to have some that sing during the offertory of the day of our Christmas programs, that Saturday night and Sunday morning. And so if you have a child, we're looking 5 and up that would like to sing. And if there's some younger ones, we're willing to work with them, but we want to have a conversation with that. But 5 and up, if you'd like for your child to sing, be a part of the, like I said, it's going to be one or two songs, depending how quickly they learn it. And they're going to be singing it during the offertory of the Saturday night program and the Sunday morning program. And they're a blessing when we get to hear them sing. And we're praying the Lord will bring more children to our church so that way we can have it once again. Right now, we just do not have it. But we want to have it, at least for that day. So I encourage you, if you have any children that would like to be a part of that, you can see me or you can see my wife also. She's going to help us, usually helps lead that. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10, as I mentioned last week, we're beginning a series through the Gospel of Mark. I love the Gospels. I love just being near Christ, hearing the teaching of Christ, seeing what Christ did. And I know when we read through the Gospels, sometimes people say, well, we've heard all these stories before. And that's okay. As we learn in the book of Philippians, as we're going through, it's safe to hear those things and repeat those things. And if you're like me, I didn't learn it the first time. I'm still, as Philippians are going to learn about on Wednesday night, I still haven't apprehended yet. There is so much more I need to do to become like Christ. So we're going to walk through the book of Mark. I think one of the first books I taught through or preached through was the Gospel of John. And then we also have gone through the Gospel of Luke, probably about 5 or 6 years after that. And now we're probably 4 or 5 years away from Luke, and so we're looking at Mark. And the theme verse, I would think, and different people might think differently, but I think the theme verse is found in verse number 45. Chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's ask the Lord's help today in our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that our desire, my desire, each person's desire that's here today, would to be like you. Not based off the you that we have pictured, but the you that the Bible so boldly proclaims. And as we look and as we go through the Gospel of Mark, Lord, that we will reach out to people and we'll see you as a servant and serving and just, Lord, there's so much that's in there. And Lord, this is a important part, great understanding that you came to this world to minister. And Lord, help us to see that. There's many souls that need to be ransomed. There's many souls who need Jesus Christ. And God, that we would learn and that we would grow and that we would understand what your desire for our life is. Not what we're comfortable with, not just what we think it should be, but what your desire is. Help us this morning as we look at this whole gospel of Mark. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you go back and you study, there's four different gospels. Some people will say that Acts is a gospel too, but I think it's an Acts of the church after the gospels, after Jesus left. But each of the gospels present Jesus in different lights. The book of Matthew presents him as king. And you say, well, how do you know it's king? Well, you go and you look at the lineage that's found in Matthew chapter 1. It goes back and it represents all there. He is the promised Messiah. You're going to see here in a second, the Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as a servant, a suffering servant, servant that was prophesied about in Isaiah 53. Jesus humbled himself and came to do the will of the Father, and it reveals an amazing truth, a truth that we need to learn. You say, well, Jesus was a servant. He was just doing everything everybody has told him. No, he was the servant of God. I think we've got to remember that and don't lose sight of that. We are not servants of others. We are to serve other people. And sometimes because of the roles that people have there, we're in servitude to them when we work for them. But we're not servants of other people. We're servants of God. And God's the one that tells us to serve one another. And we're going to look at that a little bit also. Then you have the Gospel of Luke. We've gone through as a church many years ago. It talks about the Son of Man. It presents him as a man, his humanity. And it's a messianic title. That's from Daniel, the son of David, from Luke chapter number 3. Luke is the only gospel that gives a glimpse of his childhood in those years. The genealogy with Luke begins with Joseph, but it is the husband of Mary and traces Jesus' ancestry through Mary's line and goes all the way back to Adam. And why is that? It's to show that he is also has that right to sit on the throne, not just because he's God, but he came from the line of David, the line of Judah, but also because he is man too. And that's the reason why you see the difference between the lineage of Matthew and the lineage and Luke. Then you've got the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John represents and shows that he's God. He is God of the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with him, and the Word was God. So that's something we've got to always remember and be a part of understanding, is that all the Gospels are written. They're written to different groups of people. Luke is written to the Greeks. Mark here, you're going to see, is written to the Romans. Matthew is written because he's presenting him as king. And who is he king of? He's king of the Jews. Yes, he's king of the universe, but they present him that way. And Mark here, as he's writing, he's penning, we'll look at this in a little while, is that Mark is someone who is writing to the Romans. It's probably written while he's in Rome. What do we know about John Mark? And I know that some of us remember who John Mark is and knows the stories. John Mark is found in other spots in the Bible too. John Mark was the son of Mary, Mary who lived in Jerusalem, whose home was one of the meeting places of the early church. And even when they were there and they were praying for Peter to get out of jail, it was Mary's house. John was a Jewish name. Mark would have been his Roman surname. When Paul and Barnabas went out, and what he may be most famously known for is when Paul and Barnabas went out on their first missionary journey, as soon as he gets into the journey and gets into the foreign land, he goes home. He retreats. He leaves. And it's not painted a very pretty picture of it. Even to the point that when these missionaries reached the mainland in Asia Minor, Mark abandons their enterprise. Later on, that even causes a quarrel between Paul and Barnabas. And we talked about that last Sunday night, how Paul and Barnabas there, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but Paul didn't. And how Barnabas at that point in time took John Mark with him. And we talked about being an encourager last Wednesday, Sunday night. And hopefully you've been an encourager this week. And instead of casting Mark off to the side, saying you're no longer able or worthy to be part of the ministry, he turns and he says, I'm going to take you and we're going to learn. And what happens later on? Later on, he is known as being a fellow laborer, Paul. Not only a fellow laborer, but in 2 Timothy 4:11, one of the last things that Paul writes, that we know that he writes and is recorded in the Word of God, he said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So one of the last things that he writes as he's writing things out, he says, that Mark guy, you know, bring him with you. He's profitable to me in the ministry. And it's easy to sit and preach and teach certain things, but this is something that we all need to be reminded of is, hey, we make mistakes. We fail. Doesn't mean that we're no longer able to serve the Lord. Now, sometimes the mistakes we make says we can't do certain things. There might be certain restrictions because of our sin, and there are certain things. But this story here tells us, even though John Mark left Barnabas and Paul, that God, in his mercy and his grace, chooses to use him once again. And not just use him, he uses him to a point where the great apostle Paul looks at him and says, look, he's a benefit. Hey, bring him. Paul is getting ready to be killed for the cause of Christ, and he realizes he's being offered off a sacrifice, and he's saying, this is someone who I would like to see. And it's not only that. Think about it. Who's writing this book? It's Mark. And God is using him to write this. So I know we've all made mistakes. I know we've all done dumb things. I know we've all done things that we regret and we wish that we never would have, especially inside our Christian lives. Sometimes we've done things in the church that we're thinking, there ain't no hope, there ain't no way, and no one's going to ever allow me to serve anymore. No one's ever. You got a God that you serve, and you focus on that God. And it's amazing. He's talking about Christ being pictured as a servant here, but what did he fail at? He failed being a servant. And it just speaks of God's grace. It speaks of the love he has for us. And I want to remind you that no matter where you're at in your Christian walk, God wants to use you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And that might look a little bit differently than it maybe would have looked 20 years ago. But don't waste the rest of the time that you have sulking about something that maybe you did foolishly in the past. Because God can still use you. And this is just one example. And I know that what's the easy thing to do when you do something wrong? Not to admit it. The easy thing you do is, instead of getting it right, I'm just going to ignore it. It's sitting there, and it's festering there. And John Mark could have done that. John Mark could have went home to Mom. Mom was a Christian lady. She was known for having a meeting place there. She was known for having a good traditional house where they met at and things like that. All those things are going to happen. He could have just sat at home and never done anything ever again for the Lord. But no, he went and he learned and he grew. And as he grew, God uses him in some really, really great ways. And I like that part of it. He's profitable to me for the ministry. Are you profitable for the ministry of God? Is there something that you could say, yes, I am a prophet? Now, we are all sitting and we're all learning and we're all growing, and that's going to make you profitable to begin with as you walk with the Lord and as you talk to the Lord. But Paul is not saying he's profitable in the sense of the fact that he's profiting from the ministry and the idea he's learning. And I'm not talking about getting rich, because that's a far, far cry of what Mark would have ever thought about. But sometimes we profit from a ministry. We profit because of fellowship and friendship. We profit from the teaching. We profit from the encouragement, all those different things. But he's saying he was profitable for the ministry, that because he was there, the church grew. Because he was there, God was able to use him. And I'm wondering, is that something that we're profitable for? And you say, well, Pastor, I can't do everything. I can't give everything. I'm not asking or anything specific, but if the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, you could be more profitable for this ministry, then that's something that the Holy Spirit speaks your heart about. Because even though he tells all of us to give, you know, not all of us can give at different levels. It's not the giving. It's not even the serving. It's about, are you being profitable? Or is the church benefiting from you being here? Not just being a warm body, but instead someone who actually is doing something that's encouraging and encouraging the work of the Lord here, encouraging one another. Yes, we want everyone to come. And there is a time where we learn and we grow and we profit from the ministry. But are you being profitable to the ministry? Another thing is some things about Mark that maybe you did not know. As we learn about the writer here, he was led to, most believe, according to 1 Peter 5:3, he was led to Christ by Peter. The early church fathers even believed that this is Peter's version of the gospel and that Mark had taken from the stories that Peter. Now, before we go any farther, we know that the Bible is perfect. We know the Bible is inspired. We know it's the Word of God. We understand all those things and that the Holy Spirit moved upon Mark when he wrote these things. But it's something that he's learned these things from Luke, learned these things from Peter, and that these are even Peter's thoughts and Peter's remembrance of the stories. Tradition tells us Mark preached in Egypt, and many people believe he was martyred there also. Mark is also known, if you go back into tradition, into history, he was known of a man, Mark of the short finger. What does that mean? It means that his hand was mutilated, as he was missing a finger. Some even go back, and once again, it's not Bible, but if you go back and you read, and some of the tradition says that he even took off his own finger because he didn't want to have to enter into the priesthood. He wanted to serve the church. I don't know if that's really true or not, but as you're looking, I've read that in a number of places. But even though his hand was mutilated, God used him to write the Bible. I think that's amazing. So think about that. Mark here is someone who messed up, but he didn't use that as an excuse. He recognized it, and that's how we get right, is we recognize what we're doing wrong, recognize what we need to change, we speak the truth in love, and then we move forward. We don't just sit. We become profitable to the ministry. Some facts about the book itself. He wrote it before the fall of Jerusalem. Some think as early as AD 50. It was probably one of the earliest books that was written in the New Testament. He's generally believed to have written it in Rome. It's definitely written to the Romans. If you go and you look at it, the language that used is not eloquent. Some of the Greek words and phrases that would normally be in writings, they're just not there. It talks about slaves, kinds of words that slaves would understand, and kinds of words that freedmen would understand. It makes up the congregations of the Church of Rome. Mark's style also is probably something that most of us would enjoy. Most of us would know that Mark is the shortest gospel. I've sat and read through Mark, and it takes me about an hour to read through Mark if I'm trying a little bit longer, if I'm trying to get more out of it. But it is a very easy read. The style of Mark is brief, it's blunt, it's short, and it's sweet. Mark gets to the point. This is a gospel of action and accomplishment. It was written with the Gentiles in mind. There's Jewish words he explains. There's Jewish customs that he explains. And there are things such as Golgotha and Abba and Bartimaeus, all those different things he explains and takes time to talk about the location of the Mount of Olives. You don't see that in Matthew because it was written to the Jews. You turn around and you think about he explains when the Passover was killed, because of the fact that the Gentiles would not understand that. To the Romans, that would have been, well, what's going on there? He even says that the Jordan is a river. Everybody else would have known that. You look at other Gospels, especially Matthew, that it's just mentioned of the Jordan. And here he explains that. Why is that? Because he's writing it to a different group. The Gospel is not just for the Jews, which is Matthew. The Gospel is not just for the Romans, which is Mark. The Gospel is not just for the Greeks, which is Luke. It's like John. It's written for everyone. And so there's a presentation here. What are they presenting him? Mark is presenting him. He's always there. He's active. He's always working, just as a servant or a slave would. They're always busy doing things. And it's interesting to learn as Jesus at work. For the Romans that were very practical, they got things done. They would not be much interested in the religious questions. They would not be much interested when it talks about the religious traditions. So, what's the overwhelming theme in the message? The gospel presents him, as we see here in chapter 10, verse 45, as a servant, a minister. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Now, since the Rome were the masters of the world, there was many, many slaves of that day. A slave or servant would have made up 30 to 40% of their population. And remember, we said he's not a slave of Caesar. And that's he teaches that. He says, what's on that coin? It's Caesar. He says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's. So as we consider, and he's presenting himself as a servant, showing them quick moving things, this is the most transitional book of the Bible also. You'll see over and over, I think over 1,300 different times, there's a transitional type thing. And this happened, then this happened. But this, so it's something that is an easy read and tells the story. It doesn't have all about the traditions and all those other things that some of the other Gospels does because who it's written to. Isaiah 52:13 puts it this way, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. It's particularly interesting that Mark should be the one to present him, Christ, in this light, because that's what Mark would have been for Paul and Barnabas. He wasn't going to be a teacher. He wasn't going to be the preacher. He was there to be their attendant, in a sense, a servant, a person who was going to help them. He fails at that, but he presents Jesus in this way. So I believe that he gets his heart right, because I don't think God's going to use somebody whose heart isn't right, who didn't deal with the past failures to pen the Word of God. That's the interesting question about Jonah. Who wrote the book of Jonah? You know, was it Jonah? And if it was Jonah, did Jonah ever get his heart right? I think Jonah had to get his heart right before he could ever pen that word of God to get that. So that's why he gets his heart right and he's used. He emphasizes the servanthood, the servitude. He wants us to see Jesus at work. He passes over much of what Jesus said, to concentrate on what Jesus did. Mark, as we mentioned earlier, is the shortest gospel. And we remember that it's something that we are here and we're called also to be a servant too. So if you think about it, here's the thing that the book is about. Jesus is a servant. So how do we take that? What's the living truth today? When I was going through the books of the Bible many years ago, we went through Mark and there was an eternal value. There's an eternal truth. Here's the eternal truth that's written about this book. Jesus came to be meant to be the minister, not to be ministered unto. He came to be a servant. He didn't come to do his own will. He didn't come to run the world. He didn't come to get other people to serve him. That's why he shows that at the night before he dies on the cross, he washes the disciples' feet. He says, look, you call me master, you call me Lord, which is good. He says, but just like I washed your feet, learn to serve one another. You say, Pastor, how could he wash Judas's feet? It's because he wasn't serving Judas, he was serving God. And as we look at this and we understand this and you read it and say, well, that's not how I would have done it. I would have been a better master. No, he's not bowing down to a man or a system. He is bowing down to the Father's will. He says, not my will, but thy will. And as a humble servant, if our King and our Lord and our Master is willing to be a humble servant, we're supposed to follow in his footsteps. We've been going through Philippians, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, we spent a lot of time on a month or two ago. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even unto the death of the cross. Excuse me. So he was a servant. He says, this is the mind I want you to have. This is the thought process I want you to have. I want you to be a servant. And he shows us in the book of Mark, this is what a servant looks like. Always busy, always serving, always an activity of doing things. So as we go through this Gospel of Mark, I think it's going to be an encouragement to you. I think it's going to be help today. We're going to look at John the Baptist. Now, I don't know about you, but John the Baptist is a great Bible character, and we're not going to spend a huge time diving into it because we're going to try to stay true to the verses that we read. But can you imagine being called to do what John the Baptist was called to do? Yeah, to be out in the wilderness. He's not behind in the synagogue behind a fancy pulpit. He's out in the wilderness. And what is he doing? Is it the voice of one crying in the wilderness? He's crying. And what is he doing? He's crying out the message of repentance. He's excited about Jesus coming. And we're going to look at that a little bit today, that all throughout history, it points to Christ coming. And it says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was super excited about the fact that Jesus was there. And it was something that, but what was Jesus? He was a servant. Who was John the Baptist? John the Baptist was a servant. They were both servants of God. Even he comes, and we're going to read quickly through today about Jesus getting baptized, and later in different portion of Scripture, John the Baptist says, no, you should be baptizing me. He says, no, for this time, do this. John the Baptist probably didn't understand that. He's like, if I need to be baptized, it's baptized by you. You got this wrong. He says, no, I want you to fulfill my will. And why is that? Because he was doing the Father's will. And we got to get this understanding in our lives is not about us. It's about serving him. And I know the Bible says in Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But it says, but by love, serve one another. You say, pastors, that means I got to serve each other. Yes, but you're not their servant. You're his servant. So every time when you go out and you are willing to forgive, and every time you're willing to be kind to somebody, every time you're willing to give out that tract, or you're trying to be a help to them, you are trying to be a help to them, but the reason why you're doing it, not just to help them, but first and foremost, it's our servant. You know, that's why Jesus said, not my will, Lord, but thine. And I love that because in the garden, he didn't want to take part of that cup. Everything was falling upon him, all those different things that was happening. And he says, if there be any other way, if there be any, he says, but not my will, Lord, but thine. And so many times we try to figure out what my will is and how to try to convince God what my will is. That's not what a servant does. That is not what a person who is registered, set up to be a servant. Yes, it's my responsibility to serve other people, serve believers, serve the church family. And I love doing that. I think a pastor should be the first servant. And I think the pastor should be the lead servant. And they try to be a blessing and encouragement, not because I work for you, it's because I work for the Lord. I know some people say, well, as a pastor of a church, you do work for us. I believe I work for God. And if that ever, like I said, if I worked for an individual, it'd be a lot different. I work for the Lord, and the Lord gives me the opportunity being here. I understand that it gives me the privilege to be able to work here along as a church, but you don't want me to do the will of the people. You want me to do the will of God. I'm not serving individuals. I'm not serving people. I'm serving him. And that's where it comes at, and that's the important point as we go through this and say, how in the world would Jesus, how in the world should he be a servant? How in the world? It's because he came to do the will of the Father. And what was the purpose? If you look at the end of the verse there, verse number 45, and to give his life a ransom for many. We, most of us, know what that word ransom means. It gives the idea that there has been a price paid to be able to redeem a life. We think of ransom modern day more about kidnapping. If someone had kidnapped individual and they took and they hid them and said, I'm not going to release this individual till you pay me X number of dollars, and they send them ransom money. We are sinners and we are lost, who are in the bondage of sin, and there is nothing that can pay that sin debt but Jesus Christ. So he came to this world to give his life a ransom for many. He paid it for us, but he's saying, this is what I want. This is the principle. He says, I want you to have the same mindset. No, you cannot shed your blood for mankind, in the sense that your sin, your blood, which is tainted with sin, that your blood is going to be able to redeem anybody. It won't. But we can give our lives as a ransom for many. We can give our lives so that others can know about Christ's payment so they can be saved. But so often we're more interested about being ministered unto. Hey, how can I get my way done over here? Instead of saying, let's use our freedom as a way to minister to others. Let's look at the way I can serve one another. So I don't think I should be a servant. Well, Jesus, he was. He wasn't too high. He wasn't too mighty to say we should serve one another. And he shows us that throughout the scriptures, especially in the book of Mark, as we consider it is written to the Romans. We are Gentiles, just like the Romans were. It's written to the Romans. It's written to the whole world, but Mark specifically. And I think you're going to enjoy this style. To me, it's the easiest gospel to read. I don't know if it's the most in-depth one, but it's the easiest one to read. And I'm going to do my best to be reading it all throughout the series and trying to get it done at least a few times a week, just to stay into the gospel, so that way God can be speaking in my heart. And I want to encourage you to read along too. And just get into it and read it. And you know what the passages of scriptures are. Today we're going to be in Mark. chapter 1 all the way down to verse number 15. Next week it's going to be another part, but that will be our Sunday morning series. Gospel of Mark is really interesting. I hope you've learned some interesting and fun facts about the book today, and also learn a little bit more about Mark. The overwhelming preaching side of it is, if you failed in the past, don't use that as an excuse. Get right with him. He wants to use you today. Do not sit and say and sulk because you have something that you did and say, there's no way. I meet people all the time that tell me, oh, you don't want me to go to your church. I did this in the past. I says, this is not my church, it's God's church. And if God can forgive you, he wants you to serve here too. Oh, they ran me out of that church because of what I did. Get your heart right. Forgiveness is forgiveness. And serve him. Be a ransom. Help do what you can to make sure people understand that Jesus paid our sin debt for us. We just have to receive it. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing today on the service. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for the whole Bible. But as we begin to concentrate on the book of Mark here on Sunday mornings, I pray you help us. Help us see and understand that this is showing us what a servant looks like. And Lord, what a wonderful thought. So often we want our way. So often we think we know is what is best. This is John the Baptist was saying, I don't want to baptize you. You baptize me. But you had a plan and a purpose that's greater than us. And God, even though we don't understand the situations, even though sometimes we don't understand our authority, sometimes we don't understand those that are under us, God, you've got a plan and purpose for our lives. And that we would look at ourselves as servants of the Most High God. And when someone else fails us, when someone else does wrong to us, that instead of looking for what we believe is right and what we believe is true, help us to run to the Word of God. Help us to see and understand what the Scriptures say. And help us to respond in love. Help us to respond with a heart of forgiveness. Help us to respond not because of what the other individual did, but for Christ's sake, as it talks about in Ephesians 32. That for Christ's sake, we can do these things because he is our master. He is our Lord. And even though to the world it might look like we're bowing the knee to an individual or to a system, but God, instead, we are lifting you up and saying, Lord, whatever it is you want, I'm willing to do. Lord, I do pray that people will be saved throughout this series in the book Gospel of Mark, that you would bring people to our church who needs to hear the gospel, and that they would repent of their sins and that they would cry out to you. Lord, I also pray during this series that you would speak to our hearts about being profitable servants. Think about the story about John Mark. He wasn't profitable to Paul earlier, and Paul didn't want to take him. Later on in his life, he says towards the end of his life, while sitting in jail, knowing that he's probably never going to get out, he says, that man has been profitable to me. Help us to be a profitable servant. Help us not just glean from all the things that God provides us and all the promises that God gives us, and help us not just take advantage of all the blessings that God gives, but we see you, and we see you as our Lord and Master, and say, I want to be a profitable servant. I don't want to be a servant who doesn't do what I've been called to do, that I would be a profitable to God's ministry. And Lord, even as it trickles down, profitable to this church's ministry. And not just be someone who takes it in, but be someone also who gives it out to be a profitable servant. Lord, we know inside your word you gave parables about servants who didn't do what they were supposed to and they were unprofitable. Lord, help that not to be us. Help that not to be our church. Help us to learn what a true servant is by looking at Christ and how he handles these things. Help us to see John the Baptist sitting out in the wilderness, preaching and crying out, long hair and long beard, just preaching the message of God. Lord, it's not the job that most of us would have signed up to do. Losing his life at a very young age for the work of the call of God on his life. But he was the one that was prophesied many years beforehand. He was just doing your will. You look at his life and say, he was a profitable servant. Help us to be profitable also. In Jesus' name, amen.